This episode sponsored by Beta Brand, the crowdfunded clothing community and home to such sartorial wonders as dress pant yoga pants and the 30-day dress. Spirit of 608, episode 71. Spirit of 608 podcast. I'm your host, Lorraine Sanders. Keep listening for stories, tips, and advice from women at the forefront of fashion, entrepreneurship, sustainability, and tech. I call it FEST, and it's the future. Hey, and welcome to today's show. As always, super psyched to have you here. Thank you for opening up the podcast. If you did so in iTunes, I don't know, maybe the next time you're there, consider like clicking over to that annoying little link and leaving a rating or a review. It really helps the show. Like, really? Please? Okay, enough begging and groveling. So it's the last week of August. Kind of crazy. This week of the year is always a little bit interesting for me because, well, 6 years ago, I right about today was being shuffled off into the hospital to have my son, and I was there for like 3 days. And so his birthday is not till later this week, but I always remember that, you know, era of my life, total life-changing moment. And then, of course, into summer, back to school stuff, you know, all the huge. But for me, last year, this time, this very week, I launched the first episode of the Spirit of 608 podcast. So it's been like a full freaking year. I can't even believe it. And it's been awesome and busy and wonderful, and actually so busy that I haven't done a thing to celebrate the 1 year anniversary of the Spirit of 608. So tune in next week for something special celebrating 1 year of women at the forefront of fashion, entrepreneurship, sustainability, and tech. Now, this year has been an especially interesting one for me because my kids are headed to an entirely new school, and they will have just gotten through the first full week there as of this show going live. And while there are all the things that you would normally grapple with in going to a new school, there's an added layer of change and new routine for me this year because my son, who is entering kindergarten, has to wear a uniform. Yes, my child is going to a school where they require uniforms, which is not something that I ever really saw happening to me in my future, but it's what's happened, and there's so many awesome things about it. But, you know, coming from the fashion background that I have, I've always thought, like, uniforms? Really? Like, what fun is that? I mean, isn't one of the small joys in day-to-day life being able to put clothes on your body and then go walk around in them? Well, I know not everybody feels that way, but I do. And so I've been really kind of like struggling with this whole uniform thing all summer and just having these moments where I'm like staring off into space wondering, what kind of person does that make me that I find so much joy in clothing and then my child is not going to get to express himself that way? Well, the other day, I was really psyched to get a bag of clothes from a mom at the school whose son is several years ahead of my son. And she mentioned to me that she had all these clothes. We met each other at the playground not too long ago, and she was nice enough to come drop them off for me. And I was going through the bag, and I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, it just dawned on me. I was like, yes, this is how I can be excited about uniforms. It's so much more eco-friendly. I mean, the fact that I can basically buy a miniature capsule wardrobe for my kid, and in fact, I didn't even buy it. I mean, I'll buy some pieces maybe as the year goes on, but right now I have enough and I didn't even have to buy a thing. It was all secondhand. and I'm not going to be buying all this extra clothing that he may or may not wear. And I just got so excited about how this is going to cut down on the waste in my life. And I'm not at all suggesting that everybody wear uniforms, because, you know, that would just be like a sad, drab world. But it was exciting to me to find that like silver sustainable lining in a situation that had been sort of bugging me for months. So the idea of how sustainability fits into my life has really been on my mind, and it's also the topic of today's show. I'm really excited to bring you a conversation with Natalie Smith. She's a blogger and the woman behind Sustainably Chic. It's a website and online business that showcases only sustainable and eco-friendly brands. Coming up in our chat, we will talk about how she got into this, how it started out as a hobby, and the way that she monetizes her blog, which is interesting both from a business standpoint, if you're thinking about building blogging into what you do, but also from a brand standpoint, if you're thinking about approaching bloggers in the future. So lots of interesting information about how things work for her and on her website, and also her approach to social media, what Instagram has meant for her brand, and also a little bit on the importance of having an affiliate program if you're a brand, how much that can be appreciated by bloggers and why. So stick around for all that. It's a lot of great information, but you know, one of the things that stuck with me the most that Natalie said while we were talking, and it kind of ties back into my whole situation with this uniform thing and grappling with it and then kind of getting excited by realizing the sustainable elements. You know, she said we're all on a different journey with sustainability in our lives, and we're all coming at it from a different place. And at different times, we'll have different things in our lives that we need to do and different amounts of money we can spend and all of that stuff. And so I liked that she was really conscious of that, because sometimes when we talk about sustainability and eco-friendliness and all that stuff, people can get really preachy or rigid or self-righteous, or here's how you do it. And maybe reductionist is the word. I'm not really sure, but I think it's important that we all remain open-minded about what sustainability is and can be and should be in different people's lives. So I was really psyched that she brought that to the conversation, because just as I think fashion should not be an exclusive thing, I don't think that sustainability should be an exclusive thing. I don't think access to it should be exclusive, and it isn't. And in fact, it's a concept that we need to think versatilely about, and it needs to be a part of our life that we can fashion in many, many different ways. So you know what I'm going to do here? I'm going to do that segue thing. Speaking of things you can fashion in many, many different ways. See what I just did there? Yeah, I know. You're like, stop it. But our episode and show sponsor, Beta Brand, they have this thing called the 30-day dress. I wanted to throw it out because I think it really fits in with the conversation we had today. It is a dress that you can wear and style really an infinite number of ways. They say you can style it 30 different ways. I can think of about 30 different more ways. It's affordable. It's $78. If you use the code SPIRIT20, you can get 20% off at BETABRAND.com. That's their site. But what's really cool about this dress, it's not just a black dress that you can, you know, put it a bunch of different accessories with. It has this cool like side ruching feature that allows you to change the length of the hem. So you can wear it as a dress, but you can also sort of zhuzh it up and make it a tunic or something closer to a shirt. And that type of functionality and sort of unexpected twist is really what makes a lot of Beta Brand's clothes stand out. So if you're looking for a thoughtful fall piece to add to your wardrobe that you know you will get a lot of use out of, check it out. Spirit20 is the code, Beta Brand's the site. I don't advocate that you actually wear it for 30 days straight, but that's up to you. Something I do advocate, if you are a brand, a fest founder, somebody trying to get the word out about something, fall is right in our faces. Don't wait until October to get your media strategy set for the rest of the year. If you start pinging media outlets and people in your networks in late October, hoping to get a bunch of media hits or make a big splash around something in November or December, you're going to run up against a bunch of noise. I would highly encourage that you start now. Get a grip on what your outreach is going to be. Get a plan down. Start updating and building your media list. And use an app like Todoist or another productivity tool to really map out everything that you're going to do to establish your media list, create the emails and the communications you're going to send to people. Make sure those people are highly targeted. Don't just blast 500 people. Pick five. Seriously, it works so much better for you. And if you need help with it, hit me up. I do these media strategy session things. You'll find out more online at spiritof608.com/strategy session. Now on to my conversation with Natalie Smith of Sustainably Chic. Natalie, welcome to the Spirit of 608 podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad that we're going to get a chance to talk. I've been following you on Instagram for a really long time now, and I feel like you're one of, you know, a handful of people that I've kind of, I don't know, like met. I don't know if met is like the right word, but met on Instagram, and then actually they have, you know, communicated back to me, and we've you know, been able to have a conversation, and then it's led to you being on the show. So I think that's really cool, and I wanted to say thank you for that. Just to
I know. Instagram is amazing like that sometimes.
Well, and it seems like a really important platform for you, and I'm going to ask you more about that. But before I do, can you tell us a little bit about Sustainably Chic and, you know, what it is and how it's different from other blogs and websites out there?
Right. Okay. So Sustainably Chic, it's a platform for sustainable fashion, beauty, and lifestyle, but primarily fashion. I started it a little over 2 years ago, and it's kind of, you know, it's the complete opposite of all the fashion blogs that you find regularly today. I talk about the slow fashion movement and kind of a different way of buying. It's it turned out it began as a hobby, and it's now turned into kind of my full-time thing. And I basically promote brands all over the world that have some type of sustainable business model, whether it be fair trade, organic, basically the opposite of this fast fashion monster that's been growing the past 10 years. So yeah, it's just kind of just a different side of fashion, a different way of living, but definitely done in a more positive light and more attractive way of storytelling.
Well, I love that you call fast fashion a monster. And I mean, I don't, you know, a lot of times I don't like, during the show, I don't like harp on like how bad I think it is and you know, like get down on it. Cause you know, the focus is usually just trying, you know, trying to be positive and all that. But I think it's something that a lot of people don't think about. And I know you said that I've read something in a guest post that you wrote on another site at one point where you said you started to think passionately about sustainability after realizing how damaging the fashion industry was. Do you remember what like moment or was there a specific thing or experience you had that shifted your thinking?
It wasn't one specific thing that I read or came across. It kind of built up over a few years while I was studying in college. I kind of randomly would pass articles about the waste, you know, unethical treatment of workers. And it kind of just like, it would ring like little bells in my head, but it wasn't like an aha moment to me. It just definitely built over time. I think it was, you know, my third year of college where, you know, I started to take it upon myself more to figure out exactly what my impact was in the industry. And if I was actually contributing to a negative thing rather than a positive. So it was definitely my third year of college where I was like, you know, I'm doing this wrong. If I want to be in this industry, then, you know, I need to fix the way things are done because it's not going in the right direction.
So you were studying fashion. Tell me a little bit about what you were studying. And I'd love to know what it was at that point you thought you were going to end up doing once you graduated and went off into the world to start your career.
Right. So I thought that I wanted to do design. My mom sells sewing machines and fabrics, and I've been sewing a very long time. But I actually really love the business aspect of fashion. So I went into merchandising and marketing. So it's kind of like the behind the scenes. And I think that's where you fall more upon the manufacturing process and, you know, dealing with multiple types of businesses to create this fashion industry. So I think that Gosh, I'm going off on a tangent now.
No, well, I mean, I think it sounds like what you're saying, this is what pops into my head as you're talking, is mm-hmm. that you are sitting here not only blogging about sustainable fashion, but you're able to bring this knowledge to it that probably allows you to know when a brand really is doing something special, you know, mm-hmm. with their approach to sustainability. I mean, do you find that the education that you had, since you do kind of understand how the industry works in a traditional way, how it's traditionally worked for the past like several decades or however long, like, do you feel like that makes you more able to, you know, to spot a sustainable brand and a positive brand because you've had that?
Right. And that's like, this is where I was going to get to my final year. I studied sustainability within fashion. So that's really what opened my eyes. And I learned more that sustainability wasn't just about the environment. There's so many more components to the concept. So, you know, it goes from, you know, the impact that it has on the earth to the employees, to the packaging, to the marketing. I mean, it's so much that goes on. So now that I have this understanding of really what sustainability is, it is a little easier for me to, you know, pinpoint a brand and say, hey, they really do have a sustainable type business model. And it's not just about the fabrics that they use. So all those classes on sustainability, they definitely did help today in what I do.
So, and the other thing that you said that I always think is really interesting is you mentioned your mom and that she sells sewing machines. Is your mom, so I'm assuming she has that entrepreneurial piece of her life. Right. I just always love how that trickles down.
Yeah, she does. And, you know, it's so funny because growing up, she was always about us using what we have, and she didn't ever want to buy us anything. We didn't really, really need it. And I used to get so upset because I'd be like, oh, but all my friends have, you know, new binders every year for school. But, you know, I'd be using the same binder from like 5 years ago. And I never really grasped the concept of, you know, buying what you need and treasuring it and appreciating what you have, even though, you know, my mom was so adamant about growing up. And now here I am 27 and I'm like, oh, I don't need it. So no, like I'm going to do the same with my children. So it's been kind of interesting to see how that's panned out in my life.
Oh my God, that's fascinating. And I mean, so because I was having a conversation with my son the other day, where I was feeling horrible about telling him that he couldn't do something that, you know, I had this moment of like, God, is he going to be scarred for life? But I really feel like it's the right thing to do. And what you're saying is that at the time you were like, maybe kind of like, why can't I have that binder? But now it's worked out where you're sort of on board with the thing your mom was trying to teach you in the first place. Right. I mean, is that true? You don't like internally, you're not like internally pissed that you didn't have a binder, right?
No, I'm not pissed at all. I'm glad that, you know, that I had that foundation in the back of my mind. I just, you know, didn't want to play for it. But now it's like, I want to live my life the way my mom wanted me to as a child. So yeah, it's kind of interesting. I'm glad that she was adamant about it and talked about it a lot, because it probably wouldn't, you know, be in the back of my mind today.
Well, you're giving me hope for my, you know, for my parenting skills. So thank you. all right. Well, so you went on to start this blog. Tell me a little bit about how you started the site and what led you to do that. Because there's a lot of things you probably could have done to, you know, involve yourself in sustainability in some fashion. Why did you go the blogging route? How did that come to be?
It's all kind of by chance, really. I moved to Charleston 3 years ago. It was really difficult for me to find that job within sustainable fashion here. This town, even though it's a beautiful town, it doesn't have as much opportunity with what I was really passionate about. So one day I was at work. I was working at a prom bridal boutique. And I was really close to the owner, and we were just talking about all the things we really care about. And sustainability was a big part of my life then. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to write a blog, you know, just talk about what I like and, you know, find people that are interested in it too. And, you know, just have fun with it. No intentions of ever becoming a job. It was just something that, you know, I could go home at the end of the day and be like, oh, well, I'm still contributing to something that, you know, I care about. So I started it. One day I thought of the name and I bought the domain. and just started blogging from there. And it was noticed pretty quickly. I've actually, with every brand that I've worked with, it's, you know, I never had to spend so much time like seeking somebody out. You know, I just had so many people interested that it grew so quickly. And I had, you know, so many brands to look at and learn about and figure out which ones work best with my lifestyle. And yeah, now it's just turned into, you know, 60, 70 hour work week. So.
Wow. What would you say your 60 or 70 hours? I mean, what is the majority of it spent doing?
Well, it's mostly in front of my computer. My eyes hate me for it today. But yeah, mostly emails, researching, rebuilding my website because it's going to be totally different come January, figuring out what types of themes people are going to be interested in seeing, building my social media presence. I don't know. I feel like I finish one thing and then I'm like, oh, I can do something else.
It's like whack-a-mole. You probably have one thing down and just like 10 more pop up.
Right. And nothing's ever good enough. I have to constantly be rearranging and rethinking and it doesn't end.
Well, so I wanted to ask you a little bit about how the business piece of what you do works, if you're comfortable sharing that. Because I was telling you a little bit in the pre-show interview about how I like to talk to founders about media. And I mean, I talk to a lot of founders who are building brands that have ties to sustainability. And they're always like, how do I work with bloggers? And you know, how can I get covered? And what I find is that most bloggers have figured out a system that really works for them. And there's not like a one size fits all answer to that question. And so I thought it would be cool if you could talk a little bit about how you approach the business piece of blogging, so people have an understanding of, you know, what they're going to find when they try to approach somebody like you. And then also, I know a lot of entrepreneurs are hoping to add like a content piece to the business that they're building. And I'm thinking you probably have a lot of thoughts on what works and what doesn't in that arena. So I wanted to get into all of that. And I just threw a lot at you. So can you tell us to kind of break it down? Like, what is your business based around primarily, and how do you work with brands?
So for all the brands that I work with, whenever somebody approaches me or sends me their press kit, I definitely first make sure it's something that I'm interested in because I want the blog to come off as genuine as possible. And having so many brands a day contact me, you know, not all of them are going to fit the mold I'm looking for, maybe better for a different blogger. So first and foremost, I just have to make sure that it's something that I genuinely love or that I could love. So yeah, once I can establish that, it's like a kind of a conversation back and forth and what they want me to get across to my viewers and what I want to get across with their product to the viewers and then building blog posts around their product and showcasing it in the best light that I possibly can and definitely the most positive way. So yeah, it's a little bit of a process. A lot of things that I post, I've definitely been holding on to for about a month or so. So it does take me a while to get all the photography, content, ideas, and everything across. But yeah, it's just it's definitely a little bit of a process, but it's very genuine. And I do, even though posts are all paid for on my blog, because that's the only way that I can make a sustainable living, but it's definitely done the most genuine way possible.
Yeah. So it sounds like at the beginning, there's sort of an aesthetic and I don't know what you would call it, like philosophical vetting, like everything has to line up and be something that you want to stand behind. And then for them to see their product on you in pictures, featured on the blog, whatever it is, then there is a deal that's worked out.
Right, exactly. And it's different. There's all different types of marketing and promotions that I do through the blog. So it's never one size fit for a brand either. So it's definitely what works best for them and for me. And it's like a little bit of negotiating too on my part and their part. So yeah, it really depends on the situation and the product.
Yeah, and it seems like it would depend a lot on, I mean, there's so many factors that can go into things ranging from, you know, do they want to be in your, I mean, I notice you have some spots like on the site that are sort of like small ads on the side, like featured yeah. companies? Like, do they want to do that? And if so, for how long? And then are they going to be in a photo that's just on the website, or do they actually want social media promotion, or is there a discount code? I mean, I just feel like there's so many variables. And
Right. There are. And yeah, that's, I mean, everything's built differently for each one. And it depends too on what they offer me. You know, a lot of these brands have affiliate programs, which I really appreciate because it gives me a way after, you know, I feature them on the site, it gives me a way to make money later on in the future by still, you know, having their content up. And because, I mean, people are going to be visiting that for years to come. It doesn't, blog posts don't go away on my site. So it's nice that I'm able to still, you know, benefit from the work, and that Sustainably Chic can still sustain itself throughout the coming years. So,
well, yeah. And I mean, yes. I feel like it gives you a reason to want to share that content that you created for them. You know, you create it saying, okay, I'm going to put this out there for you. But then if there's an affiliate relationship, then there's an incentive for you to resurface that content. Right. And it's sort of, yeah. I mean, it seems like it would make sense for them. They'd be really happy about that.
I mean, I'm always more willing to promote more when there is an affiliate program. So it works to both of our advantage, really.
Okay, so that's really interesting. But do you feel like, I mean, so this is something I've been kind of struggling with in my own business world lately, is that I keep creating sort of custom situations for every new client. And I feel like I'm reinventing the wheel a lot. Do you feel like you have to reinvent the wheel every single time somebody new comes to you? And how do you deal with that?
Yes. And I have to reinvent the wheel a lot just because, you know, some weeks are so overwhelming that I can't get things done. And then I'm like, you know what, I need to be charging more if I'm going to do all of this kind of promoting and, you know, add all the social media features on. And, you know, there's not enough time in each day. So I'm definitely reinventing more based on time management and how much I'm actually earning, because I'm not, you know, sometimes some weeks you're like, well, I definitely didn't make much for how much work I just did. So then depending on their product and the kind of brand that they are, you know, you do have to kind of alter your way of working for them.
Well, yeah, I would imagine. I mean, what if you have a brand, you know, I'm not going to ask you to like give me any actual numbers, because I just feel like that puts you in a weird spot, because people are going to come to you and you want to be able to work out the situation based on their circumstances, right? So I want listeners to understand, like, I'm not asking that question for a, you know, like a specific reason, but I think there's a tricky thing with a lot of sustainable brands and ethical brands. They're also like independent brands, and they're emerging brands, and they're new brands. And a lot of times they don't have a ton of extra resources, but yet you really want to support them. I mean, I know I run into this a lot with what I do, because I want all these brands to get more attention, but you know, through better media coverage, but you can't do like really high quality one-on-one custom consulting for like $50, you know? Right. And so, well, how do you feel about it when a smaller brand comes to you? Mm-hmm. I would imagine, I mean, because I know for myself, I have mixed feelings when a smaller brand comes to me, because I want to help them, but then I'm trying to build the business side, and I just wanted to know how you grapple with that, and or if that's an issue for you, and
it is,
know, what your thought process is like.
Right. Yeah. I do come across that a lot with the smaller brands that have small budgets or that don't have any marketing budget. And something my mom, coming back to my mom, she used to always tell me that it takes money to make money. So if you are wanting somebody to market for you and promote your brand, then, I mean, it is going to cost you something. And that's why social media, you know, sometimes I tell brands, you know, social media is great because it's free marketing and you can do it yourself. But, you know, if you do want to work with me, there has to be some kind of compensation, no matter how much I like the brand, because I do it for one brand, then I potentially might have to do it for more brands. And even though I, you know, there's so many brands I would just love to help and promote, but you know, if they're going to benefit off of it, then I feel like I should too. And maybe I don't charge them the same amount. Let's say, I mean, I'm feeling generous and I'm like, you know, I love your product. I'll do it for, you know, this percentage off or whatever. I mean, I want, I would like somehow to work out a deal later on that they would be able to work with me again, or, you know, start an affiliate program because that doesn't cost them anything. So there are other ways that we can work around it. I think a lot of brands in the past that I have not worked with fully because they ended up taking advantage of me. And I spent a lot of nights like very upset about this, but I've had quite a few brands take a lot of advantage of me or take advantage of me quite a bit because I did say I would do something for free and then they, you know, put so much on me and then I'm like, you know, I can't do all of that. And then I have nasty emails and just things said to me that were very passive or straightforward too. So that's been interesting. So I'm trying really more to like guard myself now because of past experience and saying that, you know, there has to be something we can work out. I can't really do anything for free. Now, if it's like a fundraiser for education or something like that, that's totally different. But if it's for a profit, then, you know, we're going to have to figure something out.
That makes a lot of sense. And I think it's interesting. You know, I hadn't thought about it this way, but in a certain sense, having it be all business, it does protect you because you don't get into that murky gray area where somebody has certain expectations around what you're going to do, and then they're not the same as yours, and then people become resentful or somebody gets angry. I mean, having it be a business transaction, it really does just distill everything down into a much more straightforward exchange.
Right. And I mean, I'm offering a great service. Like, I have an audience built that Google clicks and Facebook boosts and stuff can't provide because those are more just a shot in the dark type thing. I mean, I know they're a little bit more complex than that, but I mean, I already have an audience that's just waiting to hear more and to learn more and to find more brands. So, I mean, what I'm doing has so much value. So when I see brands that say they don't have the budget, but yet I see them sponsored on my Facebook page, I'm always like,
That's funny. Well, and okay, so let's talk about your audience because you do have a passionate audience. I follow you on Instagram, you know, I read your blog and people are often chiming in and they do, you know, they're very receptive and it's like they want to discover new brands because they really want to shop differently. I'd love to hear a little bit about how you grew your audience, what really worked well for you and how you're continuing to grow it today, because I imagine it's probably a little bit of a different strategy from when you first started out to now, since things change like every 5 minutes in, you know, internet land.
Internet. Yeah. So I really started with Instagram and, you know, I was a little bit addicted at first a couple of years ago. I've kind of, you know, gotten off of it a bit, trying to limit my time. But I started really on there and just going through hashtags like sustainable fashion, sustainability, eco-friendly, all that, seeing what kind of brands there were and just, you know, engaging with them on there. And, you know, every time a brand that was interested in my blog, they would send me their information. I would write a story about it. My first year and a half, I didn't charge for anything. You know, it was my hobby. I wasn't working 60 hours a week on it. So it was something I was just building. And so my Instagram was definitely a great way to build an audience of not only consumers, but brands. And a lot of brands that I've worked with ended up working with other brands and doing a lot of B2B rather than B2C. So that's been kind of interesting to see over the years. But Instagram has been my biggest platform for building that audience. Facebook and Twitter, you know, I think Facebook has a lot of engagement for me, but Twitter is mainly all brands. It's all business talk, I feel like, on there. But so now my Instagram at this point, I'm really trying to engage more with my followers instead of building. Of course, I still want it to grow. But right now it's really about engaging with the people that already are following. Because I feel like I haven't been very good with that in the past. I was just wanting my followers to grow. But then I noticed, you know, my likes aren't as much as they used to be. Or, you know, my comments, you know, people really aren't commenting as much as they used to. So that's something I'm trying to work on now, is that I need to be more concerned with what they're doing in order for my Instagram to really work. I just, you know, you get busy. So you're like, you go through Instagram to post and then you can't go through anything else.
Yeah. Well, and so when you talk about engaging with your audience and the people that are following your account, I mean, does that mean you're going on to their feeds and saying things? Are you commenting back when they comment on your posts? Any specific things that you're doing that you think other people would benefit from knowing about?
Right. I mean, it's mainly me responding to comments. I used to never respond. And it wasn't because I didn't want to. I just, at the end of the day, I was like, I can't be on this phone anymore. And I just, I was beat. So yeah, it's mainly just engaging in that way. You know, if they're talking to me, like responding and, you know, checking my DMs more. But, you know, I have so many brands and bloggers that follow me. And those are the ones too that I really want to engage with on their own page specifically and seeing what they're doing, because I get so caught up in Sustainably Chic. I don't know what the latest new trends are or the new brands that are popping up unless they contact me or the new bloggers that are surfacing. And so I'm really guilty for not getting more involved in that and networking better.
I mean, it's hard. It's hard to find the time. And I mean, and my Instagram is like a peon situation in comparison to yours. But I mean, I have to have help with going out and liking and sort of starting the conversation with new people. And then if somebody comments or starts engaging with me, then I get on there and personally talk back to them. But just, right. You know, the sort of mindless, like, not mindless, I don't mean to put it like that, but, you know, like the liking and the like initial sort of short commenting, like I get help with that. Have you ever thought about doing that?
Yeah. So, you know, every time I say, oh, I'm so busy, my friends are like, why don't you get an intern? And I
like, thanks, friends.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm really weird. Maybe I have trouble trusting people with going on my Instagram page. I'm so scared to lose it or somebody say something that I didn't want to be said or like a photo I didn't want them to like, or I don't know. I think I just have, I'm like helicopter mom over my Instagram. So that's really, I don't know. I got to think about it more.
I love that helicopter mom. The helicopter moms of Instagram. There's probably a good hashtag in there.
Yeah, right.
So I wanted to ask you a little bit, and I feel like I'm going over my time with you, but do you have enough time for me to ask you a couple more questions before I get to the sort of standard things I ask at the end?
Yeah.
Okay. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about sustainability in general. I know there are a lot of consumers out there and shoppers and people who are like, yeah, I want to be more responsible about how I shop and what I buy, but it's really hard to do that. And it's also hard to know what sustainability is because it's a lot of different things and it has a lot of different variables in every purchasing decision. I'm wondering what advice you would have for like the busy woman out there who wants to make more sustainable choices, but she doesn't necessarily want to spend an arm and a leg, and she doesn't want to have a capsule wardrobe with only 5 items in it. What would you tell her to do? Are there some easy things that you think would help her get a little bit more responsible with her fashion shopping, especially as we're like heading into the fall season? A lot of people are buying new stuff. I'd love listeners to have a couple of nuggets of information from Natalie to take away as they go into that.
Yeah, and I think it's so important to first understand that everybody is on a different journey when it comes to sustainability. We all have such different lives, and sustainability is very subjective based on, you know, your culture, your lifestyle. There's just, yeah, like you said, there's so many components to it. And it's really about finding what works best for you. And it's not, you know, disregarding and saying, well, you know, this is too hard, I'm not going to do it. Because it's a lot easier than, I think they sometimes, and I'm guilty of this too, you just try to take on so much at once that it gets overwhelming that you just find it impossible to know where to start. So when, you know, as a busy woman, and I'm definitely one of those, I mean, some of the easiest things you can do is just say no to certain stores. I mean, that's just hands down the easiest start when it comes to fashion. You know, don't go to H&M, don't go to Forever 21. You know, I'm not trying to like take everything away, but I mean, they're easy to say no to. And even the cheap prices, because I mean, if you're looking for cheap, then thrifting, and there are sustainable brands out there that, you know, are going to be under $50. A lot of brands use, you know, Indabolt fabric, so their cost isn't as much. So you will find really good deals. So yeah, the first thing I think is to just say no to certain places, narrow down, you know, your options, because it is overwhelming when you have so much in front of you. And then start finding the brands that talk about sustainability and, you know, that care about the environment, about its workers. And once you find them on like Instagram or you go through my website, I have a ton on there. They're all different price points. So you will find things that are affordable. And then I think the next thing is, once you've established a few of your favorites, is to figure out what you really need, because we really don't need a lot, but fashion does add value to our lives for us that love it. So definitely, I'm not a minimalist. I believe that, you know, art has so much value for me and my boyfriend. I mean, our walls are covered in art, and fashion for me is mine. It's a great way to express yourself, and we shouldn't eliminate it out of our lives, because it does take water, energy, and everything to create. So yeah, it's figuring out, I mean, not over consuming. We can still consume, but we need to do it responsibly, and we need to have fashion be responsible in our lives. So yeah, I mean, those are my first two things that I would do, is narrow down a few sustainable fashion brands that you love, and then figure out what you really need, or what really is going to add, not say need, but what really is going to add value in your life and something you can truly appreciate.
Those are great tips. And I'm curious too, do you have any sort of go-to ways of getting rid of stuff?
I'm like the worst at that. I have so much, you know, sentimental attachments to things. Like, I have my grandmother's wedding dress and stuff.
Oh,
like,
wow. Oh.
And I was her flower girl, so I have like the matching set. But yeah, that to me, it's, you know, first it's, you know, don't buy things that are just going to add chaos to your life. So that will help once you, you know, feel like you have too much and you're trying to eliminate things. But I mean, if it's something that you can look at and you can say, hey, I don't feel anything for this, and it's just taking up room, and it's something you can't find a use out of, then it's something that'd be easy for you to get rid of. But the problem is, it's like, you get rid of it, where does it really go? It's just going to be sitting somewhere else. So it's never really fully gone. So I'm constantly trying, like, if something doesn't fit me, I'm like tearing it up and figuring out what I can do with it. DIYing my life through.
I love that. You know, I ran across this woman recently at a flea market kind of street festival sort of thing. And she had taken all like thrifted, like really like pretty tacky, like 80s shirts, but she had dyed them all in this very cool way, like dip dyed them. And I just thought, wow, like even this ugly kind of like broken down shirt that if I'd seen in the thrift store would have looked horrible, now it's like awesome. And I don't know, the reuse, the repurposing things and ripping them up. I love it when people can do talented stuff with that.
Right. And, you know, there's so many blogs, and, you know, you just go on Pinterest and for hours you'll get lost in all the things that you can probably repurpose in your own home. So it's cool, because then it's like, you know, maybe you're wanting a new shirt, or but then you just realize that you have this holy sweater that you can totally make into a cute tank top, but you never really thought about it. And now you don't have to go do anything.
So before we close out, I have two more questions for you. I would love to know if you can tell me what the coolest thing you've ever gotten to do because you have this blog is. Like, have you gotten to go anywhere really cool, or be in a photo shoot somewhere really interesting, or there's any kind of experience like that that you were like, wow, this is amazing? And then I would love to know, what do you see as the next big step for Sustainably Chic? Like, where are you headed the rest of this year, next year? What's on the horizon?
Well, unfortunately, I'm not much of a traveler. I love to travel. Like, I travel myself, but Sustainably Chic has not been traveling. But I mean, what's really cool about my blog and networking with people is that sometimes I'm able to meet up with people in person. And honestly, I feel like I live in a virtual world, so there's nothing more exciting than actually getting to meet a brand or meet a fellow blogger in person and actually hang out for the day and, you know, learn more, bounce ideas off each other. I think those are probably the best moments that I have, is when I actually get away from this internet world and I'm able to do things in person. It doesn't really happen that often, so I really appreciate and treasure those moments of the blog. And then in regards to future, you know, it's kind of, I'm kind of like at a point where I'm really trying to figure out the right direction for the blog. Like, should it be more vlogging, this whole video thing? But, you know, I get really nervous in interviews and in front of cameras, and because I think I've just put myself into this virtual world. And then when I have to do something where people see me, I get all, you know, shy and scared. And so, you know, vlogging, I know, is getting really popular, and it's something that I think I need to look more into. And then when going back to the traveling aspect, I need to go visit more restaurants that have a sustainable model, as well as hotels, or, you know, anything that attracts people, and actually, you know, meet more people in person and learn about businesses right in front of my face rather than through email and computer.
Well, and it seems like you're probably in a great place for that, because I know Charleston has a lot of really interesting hotels and companies in like the food industry. It seems like you might have some stuff in your own backyard that would be a good fit.
Yeah, yes. And now it's just all about me getting that courage and saying, hey, can we talk? So.
Well, cool. And I was telling you in the pre-interview, I love Charleston so much. So don't be surprised if I like try to stalk you in real life when I come there the next time.
No, please do. Like, so. You have no idea how much I like human interaction. I would really love that.
So I have a few questions I always ask at the end of the show. Do you have any tech tools, apps, books, resources? I mean, it could be something low tech, a really great piece of advice that's helped you kick ass in your day-to-day life that you think would help other female entrepreneurs kick more ass in their day-to-day lives?
Yeah. So in the app world, since I deal with so much photography, I've actually gotten away from using Photoshop just for time. And I use the app Color Story. I don't know if you've ever used it before, but it's been my favorite photo editing app. And then as well as Facetune, not for my face, but to help blur out my background or fix like color corrections. And then apps like Best Time, which kind of help decide when your post should go up, with the best times of the day, best times of the week, that kind of thing. So for me, it's really all my tools are they're centered around social media. So those are the three that, you know, I use almost every day.
Awesome. So at least two out of three of those were new to me. So I'm looking forward to checking them out. So we've never hung out, but if we were to hang out all day, what would I end up absolutely loving about you and what would drive me insane?
Okay. I think I'm pretty down to earth. I'm really an open book. I feel like you can ask me absolutely anything and I'll be very honest about it. So all my friends have always liked that they could have a really good conversation with me, and that, you know, I will help them. I'll answer any questions and I'll talk about, you know, silly things in my life with no problem. So I think that you would enjoy if you came and hung out with me. I don't know. Something you might not like. I don't know. I ramble. Like, I do. I feel like I've been rambling a little bit. So I might be I have like a little girl's voice. So you might feel like you're hanging out with a child, but I'll drink wine. So I'll act older.
Nice. Okay. I like that. That's awesome. Yeah,
I feel like I have one of those annoying voices where you're like, okay, just stop.
I like how wine is the remedy. That's funny.
Yeah. No, give me wine and then I'll like chill out.
Nice. So if you had to print a phrase or a motto on a t-shirt and wear it around for the next 7 days, what would it be?
Ooh, phrase, motto. Gosh. This is my favorite phrase, bloom and grow forever, from the Edelweiss song and Sound of Music. Aww. It's kind of like a constant reminder just to keep going. It's a flower that never really dies through all the seasons. So I'm from Switzerland. I'm a citizen. I'm dual of America. So bloom and grow forever has been kind of, you know, always in the back of my mind.
Oh, that's wonderful. I never knew that about that flower. So I learned something today.
Yeah. Sometimes you see them peeping out of snow. I haven't seen one in a while, but we don't have them here.
So I always close out by asking guests if they have a question they'd like to ask me, anything silly or serious. I promise to give you an honest answer.
Okay. Silly or serious. Let's see. Tell me an embarrassing moment. I hate that one, so I'm going to ask you that one.
Tell you an embarrassing moment. Let's see. Oh my God, what is going to bubble up from the depths of my brain right now? I went to a work event like not too long ago, and you know, I strolled in. I was a little bit late, and everybody there, I mean, I didn't really think that it was going to be as crowded as it was. I figured, oh, I'm like living in a smaller town now, like, you know, who's going to show up to this thing at like 8:30 in the morning on a Tuesday? And I got there, and it was like packed house, like crowded, you know, no like seats, all this stuff. So I snuck in. And I realized that one of the only seats left was like right in the middle of the room, right in front of the speaker. And so, and I always am carrying like way too much stuff. I think I had like a gigantic bag. I had my coat, and this was before, this was earlier this year. It wasn't in the summer. So I was like sneaking in, trying to be incognito. And the organizer of the event was like, oh, go to, you know, she's like whispering to me, like, go take that seat right in the middle. So of course it's a table. It was like a round table with all guys, and I had to like step over a bunch of people. It was completely disruptive, and, you know, prayed in front of the entire room to get to this spot. And I get there and I sit down, and I realize that my shirt is like unbuttoned. Like the front of it is like coming undone, and my bra is completely visible. And also like the space between my bra strap and my belly button is also completely visible, which is not, it's not a good look, and especially not in that context. And yet I became like really self-conscious that if I tried to button my shirt, that everyone in the room was going to see me do it. And so I sat there really awkwardly holding all of my stuff in front of my chest for like the entire presentation, because I didn't want to like put it down on the ground and then flash some poor guy. And, you know, it's one of those things where if it had been like 50% or more women in the room, I probably would have like just been like, yeah, you know, here I am buttoning my shirt. But I was so embarrassed. And so that was embarrassing. And then I eventually, like when there was sort of a break in the program, I like leaned down like I was going to tie my shoe, and then I like buttoned my shirt, and then I sat up. And then at the end of it, it really, you know, it kind of blew my confidence. I didn't really want to network with anybody afterwards. So, because I just felt like I had been stressed out for the whole thing. Yeah. And I probably should have just buttoned it right at the beginning and like just been done with it all. But yeah. Yeah.
No, like that. I love embarrassing stories. It makes me feel better.
Well, good. I'm glad. I'm glad after it took me all that time to think of it that.
No, I would do the same. Gosh. Like, I, you know, I have other friends, you know, they'll have like interviews and they'll tell me that that question was asked. And I was like, oh my gosh, I wouldn't know what to say today. But then something will happen and I'll be like, well, I could have said that. Like, you know, you always think of this like a good story after the fact.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, I'll get off this interview with you and start thinking of all of the like ridiculous things that I've done. I mean, most of them involve my kids and how I feel like I, you know, have done something that has made me look like just a deadbeat mom. I feel like that happens to me a lot, like where my kid has like some ridiculous outfit and it's been like my attempt to let them, you know, be free with their clothes, but then the teachers are like, nice, you know? And so I don't know, but like a lot of that stuff will probably come like popping right back into my head, and I'll save it for future episodes. So if anybody listening ever comes on the show and wants to ask me a question, you know that I'll have more embarrassing stories to share. All right, cool. Well, I so appreciate you taking the time. It's been really awesome to talk to you and get a window into your world with Sustainably Chic. If people want to keep up with you and everything you have going on, what's the best way for them to track you down online?
Well, don't DM me. I always forget about that. Just, you know, Instagram now has that contact button, so it leads right to my emails, and all my emails go directly to my iPhone. I don't have like any middlemen working on it. So yeah, email is honestly, it's info@sustainably-chic.com. It's really easy, and I read all of them, so that's probably the easiest way.
Awesome. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, thank you.
Done and done. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Natalie. It was a really fun one for me to have on the show. You know, I hadn't had somebody who brings the blogger perspective into the show for quite a while. And I always love getting that in here because I feel like blogs and content-based businesses are such a part of this fashion ecosystem today. And there's a lot that we can all learn from people that are building brands and businesses around information. You know, I think more and more brands are being pressed to become content producers today. And so somebody like Natalie really offers a real window into what that world is like. And I really appreciated her candor. You know, she didn't have to go into so much detail about her business model, but she did. And that was awesome. And that's what we're all about here at the Spirit of 608, sharing information, trying to help other women get ahead. If you want to get ahead with your media strategy and outreach, let me help you. You can find out more by checking out the Work With Me tab on thespiritof608.com. If you're trying to get ahead with your fall wardrobe, don't forget to check out Beta Brand. BETABRAND.com is the site and Spirit20 is the code. Hey, do me a favor and do one thing today to put yourself out there. Get more people noticing the great things that you're doing in the world. And I hope you will join me next time for another conversation with a woman at the forefront of fashion, entrepreneurship, sustainability, and tech. As you know, I call it fast, and it's the future.